we'll celebrate when you graduate. It'll be great. Be good. Well, tonight we're going to talk about God. We're going to talk about plan making. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We all have made plans in our lives, but we also want to know, to let you know also in God's Word that God has plans. And so God has plans for His people, and His people make plans like you do. Every day you make plans. You make plans in your life. And I made plans in my life at times, and my thing is I wanted God to jump on my bandwagon, and He wanted me to jump on His bandwagon. And so we worked that out, and I lose, and He wins. And it's okay. That's the way it's supposed to be. God's the creator. We are the creation. Some of you fight God very well, but I want to remind you, you'll never win. You can live in rebellion for many years and not receive the blessings that God wants to give to you because you choose to rebel against God and not listen and follow His Holy Spirit because in your own mind you have a better plan than Him. But God has plans. And what we find out here in this time is that the Jews were put into captivity in Babylon. Now they're becoming, some of them are being released. And we're going to drop into the book of Haggai tonight. We're going to drop into that very small old prophet book with Haggai. I want to share with you that Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, and Zechariah all are clinging right in together. There's even a little bit more, but these are the ones I want to talk about tonight. We're not going to be in all of them at all, but I might mention one of them. But this is not about building of the walls. This is about rebuilding the temple. This is about rebuilding the temple. Now, as you turn to Haggai, I'm going to turn to Ezra. You can turn to Ezra chapter 5 for a minute if you want, but I just want to share a couple things with you from Ezra. There was a time when they were going to rebuild the temple. And there were some letters that went back and forth. There were some people that didn't like this idea, and they sent some letters back to the king, and the king gave him permission to build it, and then these guys sent letters back saying, hey, these guys are rebelling against you. These guys are, they do bad things, and the Jews people, you don't really want to do that. And so kind of stops the rebuilding of the temple. And they were able to make the foundation, and they were told to stop. And they forcibly, actually, they came in and forcibly stopped them, so they stopped rebuilding the temple. But leadership changed. Leadership changes all the time. We go into the book of Haggai here, we find out here. Now we're in the second time, we're in the second year of King Darius. And God's people, this remnant. Now, you got to remember, when they were told to go off to this, to captivity, you go into captivity, or you can fight the fight, and they're going to lose, or there's the plague, and then there's some, we're going to run, and then we're going to run and be killed with the sword. But there was going to be a remnant that God was going to allow to stay back. There's a remnant. It's a small group of people. It's a small group of people. And you'll see a remnant all through Scripture. You'll see a remnant, even as small down as a remnant of eight in the building of the ark. Now, some of the people we're going to talk about tonight, some of us maybe have never read this little three-chapter letter, but it's huge, and the restoring of the temple. This isn't building the temple, this is rebuilding the temple, okay? So King Solomon's temple has been destroyed. And we'll just kind of give you an artifact, the Ark of the Covenant. After that, the destroying of the temple the temple that Solomon made is, can't find it. So it's not. So here we find the second rebuilding of the temple. So the Lord is speaking in verse 2. Well, let me read verse 1. The second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month. Now, this whole thing in my Haggai is about 4 months or so. The word of the Lord came through Haggai, the prophet of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua. Joshua is a key person. He is the high priest. Okay? We're going to come back to him later. So you got these individuals, all right? But the word of the Lord came through Haggai, all right? So verse 2, it says, "The Lord of the hosts says this, 'These people say the time has not come for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt.'" So there was a time when there was when they were shut down, but then there's something had happened. Nobody really went back to try to do it again. Some people say it's 15 years. Some people say it's 20. It's in that realm somewhere. I don't think the years really matter. We just know years was involved. They had the foundation down there. And their plan to rebuild it just wasn't happening. I think what happened is people just forgot about church. People forgot about worshiping in the temple. They just forgot about it. They began not to do that because they didn't have the temple, so they didn't do that. So they began to be more consumed with their own lives and their own stuff. And people began to forget about God. Are we seeing some of that even today? Some people are forgetting about the temple. They're beginning to be more consumed in themselves, making their own plans. Can I remind you, when you gave your life to Jesus, He owns you. He actually owns everyone. But because people rebel against God, and we have sin in our lives, God allows man to make a choice. And God loves people. Let's not forget that. God loves people. And He loves His people. But they've forgotten the temple worship. They've forgotten, they're forgetting God. And they're consumed with themselves. We're going to see how much. But He says, the Lord of hosts says, these people, they say the time has not come for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. They keep putting it on, they keep postponing it. But this is, and the word of the Lord came through Haggai the prophet. Is it a time for you, yourselves, to live in panel houses while this house lies in ruins? So what the Lord is saying, is it a time? Is it a time for you to build and live in panel houses? What you'll find out prior to that is most of the houses were built out of wood or stone or mostly just out of clay and all that other stuff. They made their bricks. They did this. Here we find the word paneled houses. This is the new vinyl siding. This is the new thing. And everybody's wanting the new thing, but God's house is falling apart. It's not even there. They can't even put it together. It's walked by every day. And if I tell you, if you walk by something long enough, a building, you forget it's even there. You forget. And so what we see here is we see there is a very small foundation. There's a very small foundation. And the book in the book of Ezra says, then the same Sheshbazzar came and laid the foundation of God's house in Jerusalem. It has been under construction from that time until now, yet has not been completed. That is from Ezra. It's not been completed. Now the Haggai here, God's calling him, it's time to get busy, but He was going to teach us and teach them a lesson of what they needed to see. He says, now the Lord of hosts says, think carefully about your ways. I think that's an important thing. God is saying, think about your ways. I need to think about my ways every day. Sometimes I put more into it on some days than I do other days. I make some plans, and sometimes those plans, we just fulfill those plans. We do what you go to the store, you go where you want to eat, whatever you want to do, you do. But there are those bigger pieces and those things that consume your time. He says, think carefully about your ways. Young people going to college, young people going out of high school, you pray about where to go. You should pray about what college, university to go to. You should pray about who you're going to marry. You should pray about those decisions. Get used to praying about your decisions and choices when you're young, so when you get older, it is already a good habit. It is a good practice. Because when you get older and you have not done that, you'll find yourself, and it's good, you're getting yourself on track, but there's usually a lot of things you got to work on just even to catch up a little bit. But here's what the Lord says. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough to be satisfied. You drink, but you never have enough even to be drunk, which is not a good thing, but you don't even have enough to do that. You put on clothes, but never have enough to get warm. The wage earner puts his wages into a bag with a hole in it. And the Lord host says this, think carefully about your ways. Think about it. You do all this stuff. You work all so hard, but nothing's lasting. You never have enough. Let me tell you, materials will never be enough. The only enough that you can have in the Lord is enough. The Lord is enough. But he wants to put it out there. I think a lot of Christians are experiencing these same things today. But not just Christians. I think churches are experiencing these things too. It's never enough. Whatever they do, it's never enough. But if you know what the Lord's plan is for you as an individual, you don't have to know A through Z. There is a trust factor. Trust the Lord with your life. Trust the Lord with your decisions and your choices that you're making. But let him be a part of it. But if he's called you to do something like this church, to build the ministries and to do and be the crossroads in this neighborhood, in this part of Huntington, he's called us to do that. We don't shake from that. We don't drift away from that. That's not my plan. That's not your plan. It's God's plans. And that plan was given to us in 2006. I repeat that all the time because I don't want you to forget. Because it's so easy to drift off into something new. It's so easy to drift off into your own thing. But there are many churches that are experiencing the same thing. You need to know what the Lord's plan, and every church needs to know what the plan is. But I will tell you this. If you're working your own plan, you're going to wear yourself out. And you will not be satisfied. You might get a moment of pleasure, but it's not going to be enough because it's not where you need to be. It's not going to give you the fulfillment or even the joy in the Lord that the Lord wants you to have. So if you know what the Lord wants you to do, you need to stick to that plan. Don't have to be extravagant. Stick. What is God telling you? What is the plan? Stick with the plan. He didn't give you a plan to give you something. He gave it to you to follow through, to move forward. Sometimes that plan is as simple as get into the church, get focused, be faithful, stay committed. Sometimes that's the plan for a person. Sometimes another plan for a person, God speaks to them through the Holy Spirit, is it's time for you to step out. I'm calling you to this ministry. I'm calling you to even move. Trust me about moving. I'm calling you to move to another state. Serve there. Whatever it may be, follow and obey God's plan. And even if it's not the right school or it's not the right job, listen, you have no clue what's going on the other side. You have no clue what's going on the other side. You have no clue. It's not about your plans. It's about his plans. I've asked the Lord to jump on my bandwagon. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. You got to stick with God's plans. And I'm going to tell you, things change. When you do God's plans, things change. The Lord of the host says this, think carefully about your ways. Think about your life. Think about what's going on in your life. Stop doing and think about it. Think about what's going on. Are you forcing doors to open? I take it very differently when someone comes here looking for us than me going out looking for someone. Just like with the house over here in 414 Byron. We were getting ready to make a major move in the ministries and start using the Women and Children's House for an extension to the Life House in a different way than what it already is. But the day before we make the plan, the move and the announcement, men come into the building, this church, and talk to us about the possibility of what it would look like for us to pick another house up right next door to the Life House. That is something that you stop in the plan. You stop in the plan and you listen. As he says, think carefully about your ways. You take a moment. What do? You think. But I tell you this, My brain's not that smart. When I start thinking, guess what? I also got to start praying. And I start praying more than I'm thinking. And when sometimes my thinking jumps in and cuts my prayer off, and I got to stop because it gets all twisted up. My head's like a bowl of spaghetti. But I bet yours is too. You start praying, and then your mind starts thinking about three steps over here, and then you start thinking about three steps over here, and you start praying again, and you're back into that. Then you drift off into this, and then you're out in outer space thinking about this. You're all over the place. Because that's what happens when you're getting to God's plan. You begin to see it, and you got to trust. But I'm telling you, there's another opposition that is happening. When you start working what God has called you to work into, there is demonic that begins to work. I know people don't like it. Some people say I'm a little much on it. Let me share with you. Over in Zechariah, a piece, fourth vision in the night for Zechariah. Don't want to expand on it too much, but I want you to see. Remember the guy I was telling you, the high priest, his name is Joshua. Conversation about him that Joshua don't even know. They're getting ready to rebuild the temple. Temple's about worship. Sacrifice and worship to God. Chapter 3, verse 1. Then he showed me, right? Zechariah is saying, then this angel showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord with Satan standing at his right side to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. May the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Isn't this a burning stick snatched from the fire?" And then, now Joshua was dressed filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. So the angel of the Lord spoke to those standing before him, "Take off his filthy clothes." Then he said to him, "See, I have removed your guilt from you, and I will clothe you with splendid robes," and it goes on. What I'm trying to get out of this is, listen, Joshua is getting ready to start making some good moves now. But when you start going and you get on the plan with God, I'm telling you, demonic is in the midst working. But praise God, we have Jesus Christ. And there's advocating, even defending Joshua, and Joshua has no clue that this is going on. No clue. And we don't even know if Zechariah told Joshua later. But what we know is God is giving Zechariah a vision of this same Joshua we're talking about this rebuilding of the temple, and Satan is there accusing him. And I want to tell you, rightfully so, we are all broken, sinful people. But praise God, what man? God is the only one that can make a man stand. And we just talked about that on Sunday. So there's a lot more. Know that there's a lot going on, even here, more than you can see. That was aggravating. Took a whole day of me and Phil's day. That was aggravating. The window outside was totally aggravating. Took a whole day of that. And a lot of you guys helped put up the scaffolding just enough to take it right back down. And that didn't take an hour. That took time. Satan is always in the midst, stirring it up, getting ourselves, trying to get us sidetracked. But the Lord of hosts says, think about it. Now he says, go up into the hills and bring down lumber and build the house. That's the plan. Build the house. Then I will be pleased with it and glorified. Isn't that what we want to do here? Please God and glorify his name. That's what we want to do. And he says, you expect it. Now he goes back and he said, now, it's like the Lord saying, I want you to listen to me. It's like the Lord says, I want you to listen to me. You expected much, but then it amounted to little. As that list we were talking, we just read off. When you brought the harvest to your house, God says, I ruined it. What? Why would God work against me? Because I'm trying to do my plan. Your plans couldn't succeed if you're a believer and God's called, your plans are not going to work. They're not going to succeed. God says, I ruined it. What? I thought you were for me. Here's what we want. We want God to be for us, but we only want to be for him when it feels good. We want God to be for us when it's for our advantage and for our increase. But I don't always think we want to be for God when it's for his increase. We're looking for, what do we get out of it? What am I going to get out of it? Well, I can tell you this, just with salvation, we got more than we deserve. But God is gracious and he continues to bless, and he's going to bless. But he wants them to know that I ruined it. It wasn't because you were bad gardeners. It wasn't because you weren't good workers. He says, why? This is the declaration of the Lord of hosts, because my house still lies in ruins. That's it right there. My house is in ruins. He says, while each one of you is busy with his own house, doing your own thing. Woo. This church scares people. And I'll tell you why it scares people. Because this is a hard-working church. A lot of people want to go to a church where everything is just laid out. I want to come in and I want to be like I'm going to go to the movies. I want to go in like I'm going to a New York play. I want to be catered to. I want to be just, everything needs to be wrapped around me and my kids and those things. And I think there's a part there that is good about taking care of the people and the visitors and the congregation. But I know this through Scripture. God called us to serve. God give us spiritual gifts that will come from heaven to serve him, because we can't do it in our own power. And we can't do the things spiritually that God wants us to do. So he gives us special spiritual gifts to do the works he called us to do. So he says, this is why I ruined it, because you are all about yourself and my house is ruined. My house is still not done. Now this church is all. Can be hard at times. I mean, just because of the physical work. This church runs 65 people on a Sunday. Last week we were in the 70s. It was nice. But we got a repair list. We have seven buildings. That's a lot of work. It's about meeting people at the crossroads. A brokenness, hurt, pain and sorrow, and even hopelessness. But I believe we're sitting on that corner, that crossroads, but there is hope. And it's not hope in New Life, it's hope in who New Life worships and serves, and that is Jesus Christ. But the house of God is not done. So he says, so on your account the skies have withheld the dew, and the land, its crops, he says, on your account. That's your fault. We do not like to be blamed for something. We do not like to take personal responsibility for things. We always want to say, oh, the devil did it. Right? Oh, the devil did it. The devil caused it. Listen, sometimes it's on our own account. We caused the problem ourselves. And God's telling him right here, it's on you. It's on you. Your setbacks and your shortcomings, they're all yours. You own them. He says, I have summoned a drought on the fields. Everything that these people wanted to do, God was making it not good. On the fields of the hills and of the grains, the new wine and olive oil, and whatever the ground yields of what a man and a beast, and all that your hands produce. But many churches today won't touch this, because it's all about, let me tell you what God's going to give you. Let me tell how to get your best life right now, because it's all about you. You come in and you grab what it is. You do the prosperity thing. You do this, you grab it. Listen, if Jesus isn't in it, it's not going to work. And you have to give your heart to Christ, not just your heart. You've got to give him your life. Your decision making, your plan making, the choices that you make. You need to put Christ in the middle of it, right there. Allow him to do it and work with you. Some of your plans are not working because you're doing your own thing. And you'll beat your head against the wall over and over and over. Sometimes you just need to stop and start talking to God again. Instead of asking, Lord, get on my plan. Lord, you need to bless this. Really, this is what I want to do. And we'll give him some sweet things. Oh, but Lord, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But he knows the heart of a man. We may rip some words off on our lips, but God knows the intent of the heart. We cannot con God with our words. We cannot trick or fool the Holy Spirit with our words. I think there was a guy named Ananias. Yeah. You cannot lie to the Holy Spirit and think you are going to get away with it. So they gather these leaders together. And the high priest, Zerubbabel, tough name, and the entire remnant, all those people, they obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. Let me tell you, when you obey the Lord, something good is about ready to happen. And let me remind you, something good is about ready to happen, even if you're going through suffering. It doesn't mean that God's going to take all the suffering away or all the loss away. But I will tell you something good. I've been there. Sometimes it don't go away, but I will tell you the comfort of the Holy Spirit is priceless. The joy of the Holy Spirit, even in suffering, is priceless. And when the Holy Spirit gives you power to endure it even more, but with a peace, it has to be given to you. And when it's given to you, it's because you obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. You obey the Lord. And the words of the prophet Haggai, because of the Lord, their God has sent him, so the people feared the Lord. There's a good thing about fearing God. There's a good thing about fearing God. I want to tell you, I'll remind you, I don't fear God like he's going to strike me down. I know who I am in Christ. I don't fear God like he's going to do something really bad to me. I fear God that I might mess something up, that he might take his blessed hand off of me. I fear more that he'd take his blessed hand off of me than the hammer of the rod. The hammer of the rod is for those who don't know Christ. It doesn't take away the discipline of God. But the people listened. The remnant listened. That's a good thing. They listened. So when you listen to God and you listen to the Holy Spirit, good things will happen. Even if you don't get through all this, the suffering don't go away. He'll give you the peace and the power to work through it. And sometimes the blessings will be different than what you're thinking they're going to be. And let me remind you, God knows when to give you the blessing. Not always when you want it. Not always when you think you deserve it. Because when you think you deserve it, you're not going to get it. Until you understand that you don't really deserve it. But if you do, this is the gift of grace from God. So let's let God be the giver of it in his timing. Some of us are impatient. Sometimes I'm impatient. So Haggai the messenger delivered the Lord's message to all the people. I am with you, the Lord said. And the Lord stirred up the spirit, because you can't do anything for God unless the Lord touches you and stirs up the spirit inside of you. Gives you the oomph to do it. And he stirred up Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of the high priest Joshua. We just talked about Joshua, right? And there's something going on up there. Something in this vision that Zechariah had. Satan is what? Pay attention to me real close now. This is why you need to pray for your preachers. Satan was attacking who? The priest. The spiritual leader of the people. Why do you think some preachers are always working through spiritual warfare? Some I've been criticized for, and I'm okay with it, been criticized talking too much about it because it's a part of my life. But it's also a part of New Life Fellowship. And so, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. So they all began to work on the house. Wow, that is amazing. Anytime we have a work day or whatever, the more people come, the more it just feels right. Even if somebody can only come and sit, or somebody can only come and stay a couple hours, it just encourages everybody, and it's a good day. And you always leave with more done than what you just get stuff done. And they begin to work on the house. That's a good thing. Chapter 2, there's an encouragement and a promise. Be strong, Joshua. It's about Joshua. Be strong. Be strong, Zerubbabel. This is it. You leaders need to be strong. He says, work, for I'm with you. Work, I am with you. When God is with you and you're working, God doesn't take the work out of your hands. It's good for a man to work. It's good for people to work. But here it is. Work, for I am with you. God's right there with you. And let me tell you, when you're working with the Lord and you're serving the Lord, you can do a lot more with Him than you can without Him. And who would want to work and serve if He's not with you? Just might as well write Ichabod across the door frame. That means the Lord is not here. Pretty much the Lord is not here. So, and you don't want that. So, the declaration of the Lord's host, He gets to say, this is a promise I made to you when you came out of Egypt. Let me tell you, God remembers His plan from Egypt. We can't remember some of our plans from last year or last week. This is why we as a church redo our prayer and fasting day in August to remind ourselves what we prayed and fasted for in January. Because this is a praying and a fasting church. Can I remind you, fasting is biblical. It doesn't make us better than anybody. But there is power when you put your prayer and your fasting together. God said, this is the promise I made to you when you came out of Egypt. God's going back to an old plan. But it's not an old, it's an old plan, but it's still the same plan. The vision, the mission that God's called us to do, the plan here, is to build those women and men shelter programs and children's shelter programs and this mill ministry. We're doing a lot of those right now. And to be the church at the crossroads in this community. It's still the plan from 2006. It's still the plan. Why do we see God moving still? Because we're on His plan. And He understands. We've had several shortcomings. I've had some. We've had some bumps along the way, but we stayed on course. Sometimes we went kind of like this, but we got to get that navigation back right. And you know how you get the navigation back right? You get back right, you pray about it, and you see. This is why from time to time I'll ask God, listen, I don't believe, we're not Catholic, but this is what I do. I believe as a believer, as a pastor, that there are times even in the church that I have to say some things. I've got some funny looks at it when we ask the Lord to forgive us as a church of all of our sins. Because I don't know them all. I know the ones that come to me. I know the ones I might see or hear. There are things that people's done in the church that I have no clue. But guess what? I'm still responsible. And this is the stuff that Satan will bring up. This is why we have to pray even for the forgiveness of sins from our own as a church from time to time. But He says, this is the promise I made to you when you came out of Egypt. My Spirit is present among you. Don't be afraid. We have all we need with Christ. How does a church like this, with a budget, with a ministry budget, a church budget of like 105 or 10 or whatever it is, 100,000. But we got a ministry budget of almost 300,000. How does that even happen? People come into this church, they say, how does that even happen with a small church? Because we are on God's plan. We don't have any millionaires. But God releases funding because God owns everything. Scripture says all gold and silver are mine. He releases it from all over. Even to get this house, it was amazing. Received a check from Atlanta and a check from New Haven. Places. Anyway, it's amazing to see how God does this. He says, my Spirit is present. What He's doing is encouraging them, shoring them up. You're doing the right thing by getting yourself back on the plan. On the plan. Now let me tell you, God is about His big plan. Jesus is coming back. I'll remind you of that. That's a big plan. That's a plan that's going to happen. There's other plans that God has. But also God has a plan for you. And your goal is to be obedient, seek the Lord, worship the Lord, live your life as a light into the community, And then God, that's a plan for all Christians to be faithful, not to forsake the assembling together as some of the habit of doing, to worship, to be the godly woman, the godly man that God has called you to be and how he's changed your life. And there's some that he's going to move into ministry and those things. When God speaks in those ways, the Holy Spirit speaks to you in the fresh in a way that gives you a plan. You need to follow the plan. You need to follow the plan. Then he says, I'm going to shake the heavens. And he goes on, he says, and the silver and the gold belong to me. Now, they're going to get this thing done. But he says he wants to go back to number chapter 3, verse 15. Now reflect back from this day before one stone was placed on another in the Lord's temple. What state were you in? Doesn't God remind you sometimes where you were before you came to him? You're supposed to dwell there all the time, but sometimes God does. We don't need to expand on it all the time, but when God does it, he wants to remind you. I want to remind you of some things. When someone came to, he's reminding them, what he's reminding them of is, remember when you, well, let me read this. He says, when someone came to gain to a grain heap of 20 measures, it only amounted to 10. And when one came to the wine press to dip 50 measures from the vat, it only measured 20. I struck you and all the work with your hands with blight, mildew, and hail. But you did not turn to me. Even after that, you didn't even turn to me. This is the Lord's declaration. Consider carefully. Once again, he says it again. From this day forward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it carefully. Is there still seed left in the granary, the vine, the fig, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have not yet produced? But from this day on, I will bless you. You see, when your heart gets right with God, blessings begin to come. It isn't all about giving so you can get. It's about getting your life right with God, getting on his plan, and those blessings come. Why do we have testimonies that are just really awesome testimonies in this church? Why? Because when you're on God's plan, you can't help to see his hand work. And when every time God works, it becomes a testimony. Every time God changes a person, it becomes a testimony. Every time God makes the, and this is what God does. God loves to work when it's impossible for man. But God makes it possible. But only possible with him. So that we would lean on him. Remember the day I shared this story before, but it was kind of a crazy day. I came and knelt here at the altar, and I didn't know we were really short on funding, and I knew that it was payroll was tomorrow, and somebody wasn't going to get paid, more than one person. So I said, well, I'm not going to take a paycheck this week. But, Lord, I don't know who the next person is. You got to pick. But I believe you. You said you're going to take care of it. So I finished my prayer and said, Lord, you have to take care of this or somebody's not. I get up. I walk outside to go get in my car to go home, and a car pulls up. Said, hey, Jimmy, I've been looking for you, and hands me a check for the ministries for $2,000. That's an impossible thing for me to do. There's nothing I could have done to change the situation. But what we do know is this, when you come to Christ and you bring it to the floor, you take it to the crossroads of hurt, pain, and needs, as a believer, you're on God's plan, and you're on God's plan, he will supply you with all your needs. You don't get it always when you want it, because sometimes God says, you got to come a little further with me. Just a little further. A testing of your faith. Because here's the thing, what I've seen here. We've seen many miracles that God has done. Oh, there is a lot of miracles that God has done. People don't see them as miracles, but I do. When you can't pay staff one night and you're getting ready to leave, payroll's the next day. Somebody pulls it right around the corner and hands you a check for $2,000. That is not. That's an answer to prayer. Anytime you get an answer to prayer, that's a miracle. Anytime you get an answer to prayer, that's a miracle. And there are several here. But when you're on God's plan, that is something that continues to happen. But we have to be careful as we're on that not to take those those miracles, those testimonies for granted. And you can't live on the old testimonies. You've got to keep following the plan so you get new testimonies, because they'll be the encouragement for you. An old testimony reminds you what God did for you, but a new testimony reminds you that God's still with me. And we need to have that. He says, I'm going to bless you now for on. But then he goes down and he begins to talk about this promise he's going to make to Zerubbabel. He said, I will take you, son. Or Zerubbabel. I wish this guy had a shorter name. He says, my servant. I like it. He says, my servant. Then he goes and he says, this is the Lord's declaration, and I will make you my signet ring. This is important. Signet ring. And you put that signet ring on it. You put it in wax. You put it in an envelope. You seal it. You put it on a door. Whatever it is. The only person that had it was the guy who carried the ring, and it was on his finger. Signet ring. Here it is. For I have chosen you. You can't choose that. So here's what I'm saying. You can make plans. You can make decisions and choices. Let God be a part of those everyday choices. Listen, you do that, you're going to be sensitive and you're going to know his voice. But when God chooses you for something, and some don't say, oh, it's not a very big calling. Listen, if God calls you to something, it's a big deal. He picked you out of whoever else. He picked you. Doesn't make you special, makes him special. Makes him special. You know why? Because he picked you and you couldn't do it without him. And if you look in the mirror, you think, I'm not that smart. But sometimes that's why God chooses you, because you're not smart. So that you know that I can't do this, but in God I can. All kinds of verses are coming in my head. But he says, I will make you a signet ring, for I have chosen you. And he slams it down. This is the declaration of the Lord of hosts, which means the Lord said it. It's a done deal. He said that a lot through here if you go back and read it. I believe truthfully that God has chosen several of us to do certain things. But you might be thinking, oh, you're talking about pastors. That is not all what I'm talking about. God has chosen some of you to work in different ministries, whether it's leading music. But it's just as important to not just have one person, but a team up here, every person. And you ask God about that. And he chose you. And you ask him, Lord, I'm thinking about singing. Do I need to do? Do you want me to? And ask the Lord to be a part of that. Same thing with teaching classes, cleaning the church, all those things. You got to remember, when God picks, he is not making a mistake on who he picks. We think that, oh, there's no way God could use me. Let me be careful when you say that. But I want to remind you also, God has chosen New Life Fellowship Church to do what it cannot do on its own. I truly believe vision needs to be bigger than the individual. If you can do a vision and you can do it on your own, then it's not a God thing. Every man we see through Scripture that God has chosen, every person that God has chosen to do something mighty, even Queen Esther, it was always bigger than themselves. But it was never bigger than God. Never bigger than God. God has chosen New Life Fellowship to be at a crossroads, to work with broken people. We didn't pick it, he chose us. We chose the suburban highway. I'm thankful that we didn't follow our own plan. We had a plan, we asked God to be a part of it. And we were allowed to pay it off. But what was amazing, God took the money from that to purchase this. God has a plan, and sometimes it looks a little weird when it goes in a circle. But there's a reason. Sometimes we just have to get our eye back on the Lord. Get back on his plan. Even if it's a little scary. It's scary worshiping the Almighty God sometimes. It's a little nerve-wracking when God calls you to do something. To speak in front of people that you've never done that and you would run every time, or you would fail a class because you couldn't speak in front of people. It's a little nerve-wracking doing the things that God's called you to do. To get out of your comfort zone and work with people that might not look like you or might not act like you. But I want to tell you, whatever God's called you to do as an individual and as His church, God will equip. But if you know for a fact that God put a plan in your life and you're working against it, think about what He said. Think about your ways. Consider your ways. And look at your life and you'll find out. And you'll begin to understand why things aren't working. Because God's saying it's not going to work and He works against you. He does it sometimes. I pray you got something out of this tonight. It's not just hearing a story you've never heard. It's always educational. Or a reminder for some of us, refreshing. But the key is always, Lord, what are You trying to tell me? What are You saying to me that I might not be getting tonight, but I want to get it? Have a desire to want to know. Have a desire to want to know what the Lord is speaking to you about. Have a desire and a hunger for it. It's just asking doesn't always work. You've got to have a hunger for it. You've got to wrestle like Jacob. I'm not letting go. I know You want something from me, Lord, but I don't know what it is. Would You make it plainly? Because I'm not that smart. And then sometimes God will work in some other area in your life because now He has your attention. And He's going to work on that a minute. But trust in Him. He will answer your prayer. But sometimes it's a couple other things that He wants to work through. It's not complicated. We make it complicated. Follow His plan. Live the life that God's given to you. It is a gift. Let's go ahead and let's get to our feet.